homeward in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Someone who is sure is our word is coming tonight, now make that amen louder.
Amen.
Give Jesus a big, big hand of praise, and please, let's be comfortably seated. Praise the Lord, I am finally on the covenant highways of life. Congratulations, amen and amen. Tonight, I have the privilege of God and of God's servant, our resident pastor, to be bringing to us in this part two of our midweek communion service on a teaching series, which he began with us during the week of spiritual emphasis. And my prayer is the grace of God upon his life will answer for me tonight. Amen. You and I will return home blessed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We started the prophetic focus for this month of March is biblical covenant empowers for wealth. Can we echo that together? Biblical covenant empowers for wealth. In our midweek communion service, we've been looking at the teaching series that has been captioned, Fundamentals of Kingdom Wealth. Fundamentals of Kingdom Wealth. God's servant made us to understand, as a way of introduction in our week of spiritual emphasis, he took the part 1A and he laid emphasis and the foundation, which by privilege I will be building on tonight. He made us to understand that we have the heritage of financial fortune in redemption. If truly you are born again, it is important for us to begin from there tonight, that there is an heritage of financial fortune among the redemption packages. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, first to receive power, and after power." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "He giveth thee power to get wealth. After power, riches. And after riches, wisdom. And after wisdom, strength. After strength, honor and glory and blessing." We're made also to understand 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, to let us understand how important the subject of prosperity is. He said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes and my sake, he became poor." Why? "That we through his poverty might be rich." God's servant made us understand that it is double jeopardy when you have to suffer for what has been suffered for. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is part of our package, and it is not what we need to beg for. Prosperity is part of our package. Therefore, we don't need to beg for it. Supernatural prosperity is a reality. And so, therefore, let me make a submission tonight as I begin. It is not a function of salaries. It is a function of God's blessings. It is not a function of salaries. We have seen people working two jobs, three jobs, yet it is hard for them to make ends meet. It is his blessings. That blessings, I stand in the shoes of his servant tonight, and as God's servant comes up shortly, it will go home with you and I in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we talk about kingdom wealth, we are not talking of the kind of wealth where online you are a big man or a big woman, but offline you are broke. That's not the kind of kingdom prosperity that we are talking about. It is an all-round prosperity. It is not living on finance, on what do they call it in this part of the world? Financing. You see men and women driving big cars. They are looking for who to eat them. Just eat them and then they are there. They start calling lawyer, calling 911. That is not the kind of prosperity God is talking about to us this month. The one that comes from above. Praise the Lord. God's kind of prosperity. And when we talk about supernatural prosperity, we are only talking about transfer of wealth. It simply means it is above, it is available. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, where we read, made us understand that part of our redemption package is riches. Therefore, all we need to do is to transfer that wealth down to us. The foundation, therefore, is vital to the strength and lifespan of any building. Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, "If the foundation be destroyed, there's nothing the righteous can do." Therefore, in every building, it is wisdom for us this month to build on that foundation of the Word of God. The Word of God carries power. Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 5. He made us understand. Say, through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And by wisdom, we see it being filled with all manner of precious and pleasant riches. This kind of wisdom, this kind of word, this kind of riches, all of this put up together is a function that we leave our size per time so that we don't end up in an aura. We will not end in aura in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11 says, as the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, says, so is he that getteth riches, but not by right. He said, he will leave them in the midst of his days. You and I will not live in the midst of our days in the name of Jesus. He said that at the end, he will be a fool. I heard Bishop David Abioye very recently make a statement. Job chapter 22, verses 21 to 25. It says, the more of God's word that you lay in your heart, the more you find on the earth. Job 22, 21 to 25. It says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Said, thereby shall good come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his word in his heart. He said, if thou shalt return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. If thou shalt put away iniquities from thy tabernacles, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. I thought I had a believing amen.
Amen.
The more you lay up his word in your heart, the more of his wealth you lay hold on the heart. The more of God's word that we lay in our heart, the more of his wealth we lay hold on the heart. How important is this kingdom wealth? Very quickly, last week we saw the example of Abraham, a transgenerational blessing. Tonight, let's take a few, maybe two. We saw the example of Jesus. Jesus, our perfect example. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where we began from. For our sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, we might become very rich. Jesus began his ministry appointing 12 disciples. In business, they tell you, start and grow into your capacity. But Jesus began his ministry appointing 12 people. That means he was taking responsibility of 12 persons. To feed one person in this era, you know what it is. Now he had to feed 12, including himself making 13. Praise the Lord. It shows us how rich Jesus was. At a point, out of the 12, the one that was keeping the bag was an anointed thief. Judas was stealing and taking as much as he could, yet they were not feeling it. It shows how prosperous Jesus was. Another example, we saw the example of Paul the apostle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20, Paul began talking. He said, don't get jealous of my abundance. I am living in the reality of this wealth. Paul wrote 2/3 of the disciples of the New Testament. We know how many people have died with they wanted to publish a book, they wanted to write one. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. A poor man, if he write books, cannot publish. Paul was a man that was living in abundance. You and I, we will enter that realm in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Very quickly tonight, what must I know? Facts to note on the covenant of financial fortune. Facts to note on the covenant of financial fortune. Number one, we must understand that when we seek first the expansion and the enlargement of the kingdom of God with our resources, we are empowered to walk in financial fortune. You and I, we need to understand that seeking first the expansion and the enlargement of the kingdom of God with our resources, then we are empowered to walk in financial fortune. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a very popular scripture. We saw how Solomon loved God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 to 13 as well, Solomon was a man that loved God. He sacrificed there. and God came to Solomon. Because Solomon was making a speech. Imagine God coming down now. What will you ask for? Lord, please, I need a house in this. There is this eyebrow area now in Calgary. When you hear it, they call it the $1 million area. If Jesus comes down now, I may perhaps be asking, Lord, give me one house in that area. I land is around $5 million or so. I may be asking. But Solomon said, I just want to please you. Give me a perfect heart. Give me a wisdom that I can judge among your people. The Bible made us understand in verse 10 of that scriptures, said, and the saying pleased the Lord. And Solomon has asked these things, and God began to tell him, because thou hast not asked, you have not asked for yourself long life. You have not asked for yourself the head of your enemies. You have not even asked for riches for yourself. Thou hast only asked for an understanding heart for you to be able to discern judgment. And then God showed him. If our prayer is, Lord, if you bless me, it is for your kingdom, then you are sure to be wealthy. Praise the Lord. Too many people are concerned about themselves. I, me. The ultimate of self is that it will strip man naked. We saw the example of Adam and Eve. They were in the garden, and then God came down in the middle of the night. He said, where are you? He said, I'm naked. I have eaten the apple. Man being conscious of themselves and for themselves alone strips man naked. Self wants to block you and I access to our inheritance. Self has a way of making his victims. It has a way of making his victims to be denied of the glories in destiny. But that will not be us in the name of Jesus. Self is a killer. And the earlier we kill it, the better. You have seen people who will prefer to sit down, get all I can all I get, and then I sit on the can. That is why it is not beyond them. You are making budgets for yourself. Make budget for the kingdom of God first. That is how to grow. I've said this, I've shared this a few years ago. I used to have just 2 shirts, and then I have 1 trouser. When I wear it, I look like butterfly. Sometimes I look like paracetamol, sometimes I look like tetracycline. Because the combination was not correct. It used to be lemon, green, and brown. Imagine the color. Hallelujah. There is nothing you and I have that God didn't give us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. The story is not the same today. By privilege and by grace of God, there is nothing that I can afford. That is where it is. It starts from making it first, the kingdom of God. Expansion of the kingdom of God. Don't wait till they make the call. You identify something is missing in the house of God. There are things that needs to be done. Jump at it. It is an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Your capacity to be a blessing is what defines our levels of being blessed. Our capacity to be a blessing in the house of God is what defines our level of being blessed. Commitment to kingdom promotion projects guarantees continuous flow of financial blessings. Commitment to kingdom promotion projects guarantees continuous flow of financial blessings. Exodus chapter 35, from verse 4 to verse 22. The lovers of God. Moses began to tell them, this is, make it a project for God. Commitment to kingdom promotion projects. Now it's time for us to reach out to the welfare. And then that is when you don't hear what you say the mic is not, I can't even hear. Say, we need to do this one. Say, you are not committed. That one is not your area. God will have mercy on you in the name of Jesus. I said, God will have mercy on you in the name of Jesus. God's servant has told us that this month is a month where amen is always low. Because it's a month that touches that part of our body. Amen. Demands for guaranteed returns on our seed sown. What are the demands? Number one, the church of God is God's storehouse from where we access our spiritual supplies. The church of God is God's storehouse from where we access our spiritual supplies. What is this telling us? Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. It said, and of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy unto the Lord. Don't take your tithe elsewhere. It belongs to the house of the Lord. It is not the tithe you say, I want to get commitment. One church, I promised a pastor I'll be paying my tithe to him. No. It is where you are fed with the word of God, which is the God's house. That is the appointed place. Hallelujah. Tithe is a debt. We owe it. Vow is a debt. We owe it. Therefore, it must be paid. God's servant, our resident pastor, said again and again, everybody is paying tithe. It's only a function of where you pay your own to. Praise the Lord. God's house, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Don't take it anywhere else. Bring it here. That is what God is commanding us. Number two, guaranteed demands for returns on our seed sown. Our tithe is ordained to provide access to heaven order of blessings for us. Our tithe is ordained to provide access to heaven's order of blessings for us. Malachi chapter 3, from verse 9 to verse 11, a very popular scripture. Many of us, we try as much as possible to just take the verse 10 and leave out the beginning. Verse 9 says, ye are cursed, we shall not be cursed in the name of Jesus. Why? He said, for ye have robbed me, even this old nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. And in verse 11, says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I thought I had a believing amen. It shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Our tithe is one tenth of God's blessings and increases upon our lives. You and I know they have increased your salary twice in the office. As a matter of fact, you have been here to share testimony. But what you have been paying is what you are still paying, even before the increase. God is telling you that that is not a tithe. That one is offering. Praise the Lord. If it is not 10%, it is not tithe. When people start asking, is it net? Is it gross? You hear all kinds of questions in Wovby. I want to pay tithe, but I'm not sure whether it is gross or whether it is net. It's a proof that you are not ready to pay one. Tithe is one tenth of God's blessings upon our life. God's increases upon our lives. We owe it. We must pay it. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, if you owe one, pay one. That is not loud enough. Say, if you owe one, pay one. Hallelujah. Someone, for instance, now, you made a, since December, you have not recovered. Because you did dirty December, you said this December we must scatter ground. You have scattered everywhere, and then since that time now, you say, things are very easy. Since December now, you have not been paying tithe. In fact, some of us made New Year resolution. You said, this year, 2023, Lord, help me. You prayed it 2 hours in Shiloh. Lord, help me. I want to pay tithe. You have only paid it once this year. Now, you have not resumed. God will have mercy on you in the name of Jesus. Some even may even be saying, inflation now, you know, what we used to buy at $100, now that will feed the entire family. Now it's $200. It's inflation. That's why I'm not able to pay. God, you know now. You are the all-knowing God. You know everything. God is saying, I don't know. When you are praying for it, God will have mercy in the name of Jesus. Don't eat chicken thigh until you have paid your tithe. Don't eat burger. You will not die if you have left the age of kwashoko. If you don't eat protein now, you will not die. Pay your tithe. It gives you access to the windows of heaven. You may not like this teacher after now. What? God's servant will be coming up shortly. Hallelujah. Lastly, what must we know? We must sow our seed cheerfully. Praise the Lord. Sow your seed cheerfully. Tell your neighbor, I will sow my seed cheerfully. After now, please just forgive me. It's the way the Spirit is leading us. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 47 to 48. This month is a month where we must be blessed by all means. And this is what God is showing us. He said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. He said, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. Say, God forbid. If you must sow, please sow cheerfully. That we have said, don't eat chicken thigh. Don't eat burger out you have paid. Does not mean you now come frowning. That they say, we should, God shall take. No. It counts no reward. We must sow cheerfully. There was an account in the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, as I begin to round off. It gave us the account of a man whom nothing was working for. It says, be ye ashamed, O ye husbandman, O ye vine dressers. He said, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. Imagine, the man has labored to plant. He has sown the seed, yet the field is perished. He said, the vine is dried up. Maybe he even had another secondary business he was doing by the side. Yet nothing seems to be happening. The fig tree languished, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered away. That was the case for that man. Why? He said, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. I love you more than anything. When choir is singing, that's when you want to even drop the offering. You are saying, if I don't drop it now, I've lifted up my hands. They will say, you have something in your hand. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 7 to 8 says, every man according as he has possessed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Here in this church, you will agree with me, we don't even know what you give. Nobody is busy looking at what you are giving or not what you are not giving. But ensure you do this cheerfully so that you can get back the reward, so that you can get the blessing in it. There is blessing in doing what God has commanded. Tonight, I know you are here. You want to turn a new leaf. I like all heads bow, all eyes closed. You want to turn back to Jesus. Perhaps you were with him and then you left. It's time for you to return back to him. I'd like you therefore to say these words of prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me your son. I know I am a sinner. I acknowledge myself as one. Have mercy upon me. Wash away my sins and write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you pray that prayer in person or online, please let us know. We are willing and ready to share in your joy of your salvation. And then your name is written in the book of life. Someone who has been blessed tonight, I know you desire grace. I'd like you to please rise to your feet. Let's in a minute, before God's servant comes up, let's ask God for grace. Lord, I receive the giving grace in the name of Jesus.